Any questions I can answer for you?
What next?
Right now, you know, we're kind of focused on the governor's budget. I have had a couple discussions with them, a little give and take on certain parts of it, just to see exactly kind of how things are shaking out. Some discussions about, you know, where do we go if the Democrat senators refuse to return to the Capitol. Also had some discussions about, you know, what actions can be taken to try and persuade them to come back to the Capitol. So those are discussions that are also ongoing, I think. Doing our research, pulling some examples from past history in the state Senate. Some of them, you know, old stuff, old documents from years back when there has been, you know, nothing as egregious as what these senators are pulling now, but just trying to figure out if there is anything we can do as a body to try and preserve the decorum and bring back, you know, some responsibility, I guess you could say, in an area of, you know, these Democrat senators that are not returning.
So those options include figuring out a way to pass the bill if they aren't here?
Oh, yeah, we're always talking about that, obviously. I mean, that's always going to be a topic. If there's any parliamentary procedures or if there's any way for us to move forward. But it's, you know, there is nothing available to us that I can see that this caucus would be willing to support. We have had those discussions, though, ongoing, you know. So, yes, sir.
Do you know what kind of compromises were in Senator Schultz's amendment?
It basically was the same. Dale and I spoke again this morning. I mean, I think, you know, he had an assemblyman voted against the proposal last night. And, you know, there's a couple other Republican assemblymen that did. I mean, I'm not trying to ignore the idea that there's some uniqueness to certain geographical regional areas of the state that, you know, people need to develop kind of a cover and a response. So, you know, Dale and I spoke, and I think I appreciate the idea that he was able to make his points and not necessarily drop the amendment today on the floor.
Scott, are you concerned at all with how the Assembly passed the bill last night? The Democrats in the Assembly are alleging that there may have been an improper vote, if not an illegal vote. They said they're reviewing the tape. Are you concerned about how it got here?
No, not at all. I mean, everyone knew it was going to be a long and contentious debate. The way it ended last night is you know, the way the legislature functions sometime, which is one party is trying to drag out the debate, and I listened to a lot of it on the Squawk Box, and, you know, obviously there was a ton of redundancy, and you know, at the end, I think some of the discussion on the amendments was actually, you could characterize it as incoherent. It made no sense at all. So, no, I mean, you know, 51 votes. Unfortunately, a few Republican assemblymen who wanted to vote in favor of the product also weren't recorded. But that happens around here on the floor of the Senate from time to time where somebody's not present and an ensuing roll call happens. We simply allow them to record their roll call in the record. I think that shows where people stand on the issue. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they handle that in the Assembly. But no, obviously it was a long and contentious debate, and they were trying to find a way of wrapping it up, and they did that.
So yesterday on the floor you asked how you're going to be able to trust the minority again. Just now you spoke about restoring decorum. How does that happen? What do you expect the initial floor session when they get back to be like?
It's going to be difficult. I mean, they've burned a lot of bridges. I heard Senator Kopinke talk about his friendship with members of the minority today. That's going to be something that is going to have to be patched up, and trust is going to have to be built again. Because right now, I think many of us feel, I do, that the not only did the minority abandon their position as a member of this body, but also forced us to make a lot of decisions in regards to the entire state Senate. Like I said earlier, security decisions about their staff as well as my staff, which is difficult. You know, I don't control their staff the same way we control the Republican staff around here. And yet, you know, there's certainly activity in each one of those offices. And that's put me in a very difficult position. And I've relayed that to Senator Miller in the limited phone conversations we've had. They don't seem to care. They simply think that, you know, I guess myself making those decisions or in concert with the Senate Organization Committee is something that's fine with them. So, but it's not the way this body is supposed to function.
Are you worried you won't be able to pass an explanatory budget in 4 months, Scott?
I am concerned. I'm concerned that they're going to jump in a bus again and drive to Illinois if they ever come back. And if they don't come back, I mean, clearly, they're going to be, I think, under a great deal of pressure from their own districts. The idea that these senators are drawing a paycheck set in statute and not showing up for work, not really. You know, the idea I heard Senator Carpenter this morning on a media report talking about how he was in contact and doing work from Illinois. And I'm sorry. Out there, that's what this body's about. Deliberation on the floor, talking about amendments, talking about bills that affected his own district today, and he's not here. He's trying to paint the illusion that somehow sitting in a hotel room somewhere is what being a state senator is all about. That's absolutely not the case. He should be embarrassed. I mean, what I heard this morning is embarrassing to Tim Carpenter, somebody that had a long-standing record of not missing a vote until just a couple weeks ago. And when that snowstorm hit and I felt compelled to move forward with it with 32 senators present, I went and apologized to Senator Carpenter. I went and said, I'm very sorry, Tim, what happened. It was a difficult situation and a difficult decision that we moved forward without you. I knew that you were hung up in Milwaukee in a snowstorm. And he said he appreciated that. And, a week later, he's absolutely not only destroying his record here in the state Senate, but is actually making a mockery of it. It was disappointing to hear him and his comments this morning in the media.
Senator Erkenbach says they have 4 or 5 Republican senators wavering. Have you heard any of that?
If you just heard Senator Schultz and his comments out there, I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that there are rock-solid 18 Republican senators that are ready to vote for this bill. That was a difficult thing for Senator Schultz to do. He made sure that the other members of our caucus knew what he was going to do. He knew that the other 18 senators that are absolutely voting for this bill would be put in a difficult position. And I think maybe he tempered his comments as a result of that. But that's Earp, once again, working his magic out there in the media, trying to, spin some story. And there's absolutely no truth to that.
Have you told your members they can go home this weekend? In other words, do you contemplate any session this weekend?
Right now, I think it really comes down to, if I got a phone call from Senator Miller saying, we're going to be back on Saturday morning, Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, we'll be here. Absolutely. My furthest senator away is 3.5 hours, so we will be here and ready to debate the bill. I shouldn't say debate the bill. We'll be here waiting for final passage on AB 11. We will negotiate the terms of what that will look like, that floor period. There's no doubt about it. I am not allowing them to come back and just go on ad nauseum after they checked out on the process, 2 weeks ago almost.
But Mike and Mandy and Frank can go home subject to coming back if you get that call?
Yeah, I think, the call of the House, I don't see us putting the call of the House on all weekend. But the fact of the matter is, I'm frustrated with that part of the process. It's not, call of the House is obviously designed to bring people back into their seat from the Capitol. Beyond that, it's a process that hasn't really resulted in much.
Wait, there's been some talk about if this isn't passed by Tuesday or so, the bond refinancing can't go through. The government talked about potential layoffs, putting out layoffs numbers.
Right.
But if you get past that deadline, aren't you going to have to amend the bill to address the refinancing? And what will that process be like? And are you concerned that the Assembly will again take 61 hours?
Yeah, I can't answer that right now, but it's a good question. It is something that we've been discussing with the governor's office is, as we continue to miss the deadlines, what are the changes that the governor may have to make in his budget bill? The layoffs are real, and I don't know if the Democrats understand that. I really believe by 1 April that's a real number that the governor has been talking about. It could be up around 12,000 state employees are laid off. So if it comes to that, that's something the Democrats need to take responsibility for.
So 12,000 state and local, right?
You know, I don't, yeah, I'd have to confirm that. Yeah, it is state and local, I guess, right? Yeah. But those notices, I mean, that's what we're looking for. What is the timeline? I mean, I think what the governor's going to ask is that those agencies actually start pulling together lists of those that would receive the notices and then ultimately be laid off sometime around 1 April. So as soon as those, you know, names are gathered, I mean, I think, I would hope that it would sink in, that this is real. This isn't some game of chicken.
What's the security situation going to look like today and tomorrow for the, they're going to start trying to move people out, have them sleep here, move back down the ground floor?
You know, I'm not, I don't want to comment on the entire Capitol, but in the South Wing, we're going to make sure the same precautions are taken, and that is that the South Wing is locked down and that we don't have people staying in legislative offices, certainly after hours. And the question from my perspective is, make sure that that chamber is secure, this parlor and everything in and around here. I do not want protesters in the Senate chamber or in the vestibule out there. So that's something that we continue to talk to officials about.
The administration said the deadline for this bill was Friday or Saturday. LFB, I think, is saying Tuesday or Tuesday. Your view, what is the absolute deadline for that?
Director Lang said they have a couple of days beyond today that they could possibly, you know, work through this. So I guess if there was a breakthrough and the Democrats decided to come back to work, possibly, you know, we could still accomplish something tomorrow or Sunday. I'm not sure exactly, you know, what has to be done for the governor to rework that to capture those dollars.
Do you want to make any compromise on this bill and concede to any of what the Democrats
were looking for? No, absolutely not. We're even stronger now since the assembly vote last night. No, there's no negotiating on this bill at all. Mm-hmm.